Let us pray. Eternal God, from whom all thoughts of truth and righteousness proceed, awaken and strengthen our minds that we may think thy thoughts after thee. Thou hast taught us to trust our loved ones to thy care, and we remember before thee those who are in peril, both on sea and on land today. And we pray for thy healing power in their lives. Send out thy light and thy truth, O God. Let them lead us. Thou hast called us to be messengers of peace in a world in strife. Help us to understand the source of peace and the cause of strife. Be with those who minister in thy name to thy people in every part of the world today. And mercifully grant unto us a sure sense of the hope of everlasting life through Jesus Christ, thy Son. Amen.
God.
Our speaker in chapel today is well known on this campus. He is Dr. George Cummins of Atlanta, Georgia. Dr. Cummins is a native of Kentucky, a graduate of Georgetown College and of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. During the years I was a member of the faculty of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, he was a pastor in the city of Louisville, and I had the joy of knowing him, of seeing his work in the congregation, and the high regard in which he was held on the campus at that time. Dr. Cummins was a chaplain in the United States Navy for a number of years, and for the past 10 years he has been director of the Chaplains Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention, which is also a commission of the Home Mission Board in Atlanta. He has had a great concern for an intelligent, thoughtful, courageous Christian ministry, not only in the military, but also in the hospitals and in industry. He has been concerned not only with the appointment of chaplains, but also with thorough theological education of chaplains. And every year he has visited all of our Southern Baptist theological seminaries. And I know that he has visited the chaplains after their theological education, after their appointment, around the world, in the hospitals, in industries. He has gone where these chaplains have been at work to give them encouragement, to indicate additional resources, to assure them of his concern for their well-being and proper equipment as they ministered to others, especially as they ministered to young people who had responded to the call to stern and dangerous duty. He is an active, thoughtful, devout man, and I'm glad to present him to you.
Indeed, a privilege for me to be back here this morning and have this opportunity to speak to you. Last time, possibly, in my capacity as director, because January the 1st, I will be retiring after 29 and a half years in this work. You see, I am a missionary. The chaplain is a missionary, a minister, a preacher, an educator, a counselor. He's everything that you can attach to the pastor, the minister. The chaplain is also. This, as you know, is the oldest mission work of your denomination. I'd like to give you just a few facts this morning, stemming from the early days of our nation. And today, the Chaplains Commission has more missionaries than the Home Mission Board or Foreign Mission Board, dealing with 3,500 Southern Baptist chaplains and their wives around the world in 16 nations that our Foreign Mission Board is not located in. This is the mission work of your chaplains, ministers, ordained, fully trained, prepared to do this task of bringing a lost world to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Back in the early days of our war, of the Revolutionary War in our nation, there was a man who was pastor of the New York First Baptist Church for 25 years and also was George Washington's chaplain, John Gano, Dr. John Gano, a man of stature, outstanding ability. Back in 1965, the Southern Baptist Convention commissioned Mr. Hearn, an outstanding portrait painter, member of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, to go back through history and come up with 12 sketches titled Great Moments in Baptist History. Of those 12 sketches, Dr. Hearn came up with 2 sketches which was referring to the chaplaincy, of which they did not think he would come up with. No expectation. 10 of those 12 sketches were put in oil paintings by the Sunday School Board, but the chaplaincy paintings were not. And so the chaplains contributed $1,500 themselves to have this painting made of John Gano offering prayer at the close of the Revolutionary War and George Washington's chaplain. It is reported that Dr. Gano baptized General Washington in the Hudson River at the general's request. General Washington remained an Episcopalian. He requested nobody to be present, but 43 people showed up for the baptism. This morning I have a copy of this painting, and we're presenting it to copy to all of our seminaries, the Executive Committee of the Southern Baptist Convention, the Historical Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention, all the chaplain schools, the Army, Navy, and Air Force. And this is the painting, John Gano offering prayer at the close of the Revolutionary War, George Washington's chaplain. The artist could not have done a more beautiful job, I do not think. And so, Dr. Binkley, we would like to present this to the seminary here, and like for you to place it where you like it. I got the executive secretary of our Southern Baptist Convention Executive Committee to put it in his office on the wall. I twisted his arm a little bit, but we want this to live from the standpoint of the chaplains, because these are your missionaries. And again, let me emphasize that out in the future, we'll not have 3,500 chaplains and wives in this work, Dr. Binkley. There will be a time we'll have 5,000. These are missionaries, ordained ministers of your church, graduated 90% of them from our seminaries and trained to do this task. Thank you, sir. What about the future of the church? What about the future of the ministry? Every one of you gentlemen here and ladies are called to this task. And by the way, an interesting thing, we'll be endorsing a woman chaplain this next month. First endorsement. The endorsement of a chaplain is based on the fact that they must be ordained. And so Miss Carter was ordained in South Carolina this month, and next month we'll endorse her for a chaplaincy position. Quite a change in the last 50 years. But we've got looking forward, and we'll have a great number of women ministers. And let me tell you, ladies, I approve of it. I approve of it. And my wife's not here this morning. What about the future of the church? Well, you know, there's one interesting thing in regard to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It has never been in times of peace existed. There's always been problems and difficulties in the world since the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his church has always had rough sledding. And that's the way it will be from now on. But to me, the church has not failed today. We've made mistakes. Some changes ought to be made. New methods, new ways. But there's some basic principles involved in regard to the New Testament church that should be maintained and also should be practiced out in the days ahead. And there's 2 principles this morning which I'd like to give to you. I believe in God's men being called to the gospel ministry. I will never get away from that basic New Testament principle that God calls his people into his service. And if this is not present in your life this morning, I would advise you to search out and find why not. In other words, what I'm saying, if you have not been called of God, frankly, let me be very frank and blunt, you have no place here. I've seen too many men in these last 30 years that had not decided this very basic principle of the gospel ministry, and being able to say down deep in their heart and convicted of the fact, I have been called with no questions about it. These men that have had this feeling and conviction have gone through troubled waters. They've had problems. They've had difficulties. But you can be assured that God carried them through. And the touchstone of their ministry was this one fact. I am God's man doing God's task, and I'll stick with it because my God will take care of me. If you don't have that conviction, brother, you're headed for trouble and difficulties, confusion. Certainly there are going to be disappointments in your ministry. Certainly going to be setbacks. Certainly there are things that you will not accomplish and achieve. But don't let that bother you. As long that you have the assurance in your heart and mind, I am God's man doing God's task where he wants me. That's basic. But in accomplishing this task this morning, will you keep in mind some other basic principles in regard to your ministry? That you've got some weapons with which to accomplish your task. Spiritual weapons, if you please. The first psalm says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. For his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The two ways of life, the highway of the low, the good, the evil. And I'm on that way myself this morning to my father's house. I'll be retiring the 1st of January, but I'm not home yet. I'm not home yet. My task is not accomplished. I still have work to do. But all through these years, there's several things that I've recognized in regard to my ministry. As long as I've kept my hand in the hand of God, he's given me the tools with which to work. He's given me the weapons with which to conquer my enemies and for me to be victorious in this task of his of making this word known to a world that's lost in sin. Brother, when you come to the end of your way and you can have the assurance in your heart that you've done the will of God, you're the greatest of God's men. What are these weapons this morning? I hold one in my hand, God's word. Old Dr. Davis told me in Southern Seminary, Dr. Binkley, that this was dynamite. And brother, I've come to realize it's exactly what it is. God's word, dynamite. Brother, it will destroy that which is evil. It will make known unto you that which is right. It will set your course. And the greatest day in any man's life as he uses this weapon on himself is to come to see himself as God sees him and God knows him. That's a great day in any man's life. And if you and I are willing to take this old book and follow directions, we'll come to our Father's house with our task accomplished. God's word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. My strength is a strength of 10, says Sir Galahad, because my heart is pure. God's word, brother, God's word is powerful. It's cleansing. Isaiah walked into the temple, and Isaiah fell prostrate on his face. And Isaiah said, I'm an unclean man of unclean lips, dwelling among people that are unclean. Wash me, O Lord, make me clean. And symbolically, God washed Isaiah. And Isaiah stood to his feet, and he said, Hear my Lord, send me. This is what happens when God washes the hearts of men, makes them clean and pure, and a fit vessel in the hands of a living God. Brother, they have the courage. They have the know-how. They have the understanding. They have the qualifications to walk in the way of the Lord and do His will and accomplish His task. And this old book we'd better stay close to and make it part of our daily diet so that God's word can lead us. Cleansing power that it has. Isaiah said, wash me, but Isaiah was not talking about a physical bath. He was talking about a spiritual bath. Wash me, O Lord, make me clean. And that's exactly what this old word of God will do to any man's heart and any man's mind. You know, our battles are not fought out here in the yards, on the oceans, in the skies, and in this old physical world. The battles of man are fought on his heart, the battlefields of his heart and his mind. And when we're victorious there, brother, we're victorious out in these other places of life. This is where victory comes. Back in my home state of Kentucky, you can see four states on a clear day. I've been there when it's been clear and sultry and hot. And I've seen the clouds come along, and I've heard that rain come down through those mountainsides, and that rain's come and washed the old world, and you stepped out on the top of that mountain and breathed that invigorating air. William Sidger said, I saw God wash the world last night with His sweet showers on high, and then when morning come, I saw Him hang it out to dry. He washed each tiny blade of grass and every trembling tree. He flung His showers against the hills and swept the billowing sea. There's not a bird, there's not a bee that wings along its way. It's not a cleaner bird nor a cleaner bee than it was yesterday. I saw God wash the world last night. Ah, would that He had washed me of all my dust and dirt as white as that old birch tree. You know what I'm talking about. You understand. And brother, if we'll take this old book and use it on ourselves, we can change this old world. And all I've got to do to make this book effective on my fellow man's life is to see that it gets into his hands, and the Holy Spirit will do the rest. Powerful. There's another weapon this morning, and that's the weapon of prayer. You see, I'm an old fuddy-duddy. I'm an old square, but I believe in prayer. Came back from Korea in 1951 it was. I couldn't come back the time of my father's death, but in 51 in January, I picked up an Air Force plane at Norton Air Force Base. Got aboard, 8 o'clock that evening, 11 o'clock that night over Grants, New Mexico. The co-pilot touched me on the shoulder and said, Chaplain, put on your parachute. I did. 11 of us bailed out. I made the finest three-point landing you've ever seen. I went down to where the plane was burning, and there were four men on their knees. Prayer meeting was going on. You know, I could have stood before that old Master Sergeant of the Marine Corps I'd soldiered with and said, Bill, you don't know what you're doing. God didn't have anything to do with this. This is just a coincidence. Uh-uh. Old Bill and I had a prayer meeting ourselves before we left that plane. We placed ourselves in God's hands. God took care of us. Prayer is a weapon. If my people who are called by my name will hear my voice, heed, pray, turn from their evil ways, I will hear and I will heal, saith the Lord. Prayer is a weapon. And minister, preacher, whoever you are, if you want to conquer your enemies, pray for them. Prayer is a weapon. Brother, there's some New Testament truths this morning that our people are going to have to relearn and reapply. There's another weapon this morning that's great and wonderful, and that's the weapon of love. Oh, boy, what a weapon. Back some 44 years ago, this last September, A young lady saw me in Louisville, Kentucky, and she began to use love on me, and I've been with her ever since. Love's a weapon. After a year or so, a boy come into the home, and aren't those wonderful little hands, they get around your neck and just pull on you, and you can't get them off. And he went on to college and the seminary. He's pastor today at Sykeston, Missouri. And you know, that man, 40 years of age, still uses love on the old boy. Then my daughter, she did the same thing. The first thing you know, my wife and I became members of the SOGCP club. That's a silly old grandparents club, you know. And my grandchildren are doing it. But you know, I wouldn't be without it. Love's a weapon. I've had the privilege of being around this world 7 or 8 times. And brother, where love is practiced, the Lord finds ways of getting this love into the hearts of men. The solution to our problems today, yes, is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's summed up in this way. I know a soul that's steeped in sin that no man's art can cure. But I know a name that can make that soul all pure. I know a life that's lost to God, bound down by things of earth. But I know a name that can give that life new birth. I know of lands that are sunk in shame, of hearts that faint and tire. But I know a name that can set those lands on fire. Brother, you've got a message. Preach it. Don't you ever shy away from getting in the pulpit and preaching this message. We've got enough counselors. Pardon me. This message needs to be preached. And as long as it's preached, you'll find men and women that will respond to the Holy Spirit. This is our task, that a lost world may come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Master. May we stand. Thank you, Lord, for every blessing. Thank you for every good gift of life. Thank you for thy protection, thy help, and thy guidance. And now as we look out in the days ahead, may we come to do thy will more fully. May we come to walk in thy way. May we be real soldiers of the cross and preach this gospel of redemption to a lost world. In Jesus' name.